they pack their bags, and all the demons say, I'm off to Atlanta. Like, you know, following the yellow brick road to Oz. Because they got a grapevine set up where they communicate to let you know, over here is compatible to our kind. It's different kinds of demons. How do you know? Jesus told them this kind of demon goes out by only what? Prayer and fasting. That means there was a stronger kind of a demon. Then only your absolute dedication to prayer and fasting can get rid of. I told you prayer and fasting feeds what? The spirit man. You need that spirit man to turn on to a higher level of energy. You need to have that thing turn like a dynamo to deal with some of these big boy demons. You can't afford to be choked off with food right now. You got to separate yourself off for a time of prayer and fasting, because you need that spiritual essence in you turned on to a higher level. You got to bathe your soul and your spirit in praise and worship music to get your mind away from here. So your mind now is the citadel of your life. Your mind is controlling everything about you. You just don't know it. The condition of your mind is going to determine your eternal destiny. You can't afford to get your mind contaminated by unclean spirits. Don't be sitting up watching the Kardashians and the Braxtons and all these reality shows. MTV and MTV2 are full of freaks. What are they after? They're after how you think. They're trying to get you your thoughts. I don't sit and watch Wendy Williams and Oprah and The View, because there are contaminating demons on those shows trying to control how you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't afford to expose your mind to the words of an unclean demon attempting to contaminate your thinking processes. Look at this. And he begged him not to send them out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils, Greek word daemon, a demon is a devil, not the devil, but they're under the control and auspices of the devil. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. That had to be a massive amount of demons to get into 2,000 pigs, drive the pigs insane, and have the pigs run into the sea and drown. Another mystery revealed. Demons can be in animals. A lot of things hanging around your house, you think it's just an animal. It's really a familiar set by which to watch you. See, these arenas right here is where people are like, you really believe that? You keep living. Witches have familiars. You ever seen a picture of a witch that's got a black cat next to her all the time? That's a familiar spirit that lives in the cat. And the witch, when she wants to find out something, will send that cat to watch you. You go out to take your trash out, and that cat slithers around the trash can looking at you. And you think, get out of here, you old crazy. It ain't going nowhere because it's a sign to watch you. Witch might want your husband on the job. So she sends the cat to your house to see if there's any arguments, any disparities going on at your house. And while that cat is watching you, that witch is watching the crystal ball back at our house. You know what she's seeing? Seeing the cat's eyes and what it's looking at. It's looking through the cat's eyes at you and reading it in that crystal ball. Watching everything about you. Know all of your habits, your shortcomings. Know where to attack. That's why people say things to you. You're thinking like, how'd they know that? We deal with a spiritual force. There's a spiritual world down here. That's why you better get to Jesus for real. And you better bury your mind in that word and have your mind transformed from AM to FM so that you are not privy to the devil's assaults. He's not able to hit you because your mind is not on his frequency. We live in a world of witchcraft, sorcery. This is the language of the Bible. Divination, spell casting. This stuff is real. A lot of stuff has happened to you. You didn't know what happened and how it happened. Folks, you don't just meet people. People are sent to you. That dude in college that you met with and ended up laying around with, he didn't come to you. He was sent to you. Orchestrated, planned out, attacked by the devil. That wasn't a chance meeting down at the student center when you was getting your tray, headed back to your seat, and bumped into this dude. He said, oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to knock over your tea. Next thing you know, it's 5 years of hell behind that meeting. Because the devil set all that up. You got to wake up out of this thing thinking things are just by chance and I just happened to, and man, who would ever expect that? No, man. The devil is at work down here. I'm not paranoid, but I'm real. I know everything has a spiritual essence behind it because every human spirit is in covenant with some spirit, either God or the devil. There is no neutrally charged folk on earth. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. You by nature, if you're not born again and saved, you're a Satanist. You only have two choices. Well, I don't serve either one. Oh yeah, by that statement, you serve the devil. Because there are no third choices. They were choked in the sea, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. That word possessed is a bad translation. It's better stated under the influence of. See, a lot of times Christians will say, we can't be possessed by demons. Well, if you've been born again, you can't be possessed by a demon. But you could be under the inspiration and influence of a demon. How does it take place? Your spirit man is born again, comes back alive. But your soul has to be possessed. You remember he says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Demons are soulish creatures. Demons don't get into your spirit. They get into the soul. How they travel around your body? Through your bloodstream. You know that you heal people through your bloodstream? Out of your belly shall flow a river of living water. The spiritual power of God comes out of your spirit, through your bloodstream, and your blood flows into your hand and it emanates out of your hand into the body that needs to be healed. If she got a broken arm, then if God gives the authorization and you lay hands on that broken arm, what's going to happen is your spirit man is going to generate the power. It's going to flow tangibly out of your hand through your bloodstream into her body, and God who made that arm will restore it again. The same one that made it can fix it. And that's anything he made, he can repair it.
That's right.
But what has to happen? Cholesterol has to be removed that blocks the flow. And the cholesterol are the flesh and the demons. You got to deaden that flesh and cast out the unclean spirit to get flow. If that hasn't been done, you got a short circuit in the power. He can't flow. Because God will not flow where what is? The unclean. He's a holy spirit, and the holy spirit won't flow through an unclean environment. So our job is to purge and clean the environment so he gets absolute power and no short circuits. This is so normal and so easy to understand, it's almost ridiculous. Look at this. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now here's a maniac, a lunatic, a kook, a wacko, breaking chains and cutting himself, and everybody walking around normal. Then he's sitting and clothed in the right mind like a normal human being, and I get afraid. You see how crazy that is? When he's a lunatic, it's business as usual. Now he's normal, and I'm afraid of him. You ever seen people react to you when you get saved and how they treat you? When you were partying, smoking dope, laying around with folk, acting a complete fool, you were normal to them. But now you say, well, look, I got saved. I don't do that anymore. The Lord has taken over my life. I gave my life to the Lord. I'm through with that old street life and living like a dog. Now you're strange. The devil operates in a kingdom of opposites. What is normal is abnormal. What is sane is insane. what is proper is improper to him. You got to know that so you won't be feeling pulled out when people treat you funny. They are under the jurisdiction of the unclean spirits, and you're seeking to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And they began to pray him. And they saw it. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They began to beg Jesus to leave. Get out of our country. Know what's doing that? All the other unclean spirits that live there in the people. Now here's how the devil operates to throw us out. He will put the extreme example of demonic infestation in front of you and say, they got demons. But what about the ones sitting up in folk that are religious thinking they don't have any demons? You see how the people that are religious are most offended by the real gospel. They're the ones that fight it. Why? Because the religious demons make them believe they're saved based on a religious program running in their minds defining what salvation is. So you bring the real gospel into the arena, you find that the religious demons are more troubled than the Gadarene demoniac. Because he's an extreme example of demonic possession that the devil amplifies and puts forth to make you believe there's nothing wrong with me. But buddy, you put your finger on that devil that's trying to hide out and cloak himself and lay low and stay low key inside that soul. Let the power of God surge to drive that thing to the surface. And you find out, man, I didn't know this stuff was in me. Good night. Something threw me across the room like a rag doll. Religion serves as a suppressor of the demons. That's why people don't get delivered. Because they learn to look like, act like, come across as a saved person. And they'll sit there holding the demons in suppression so as not to be exposed to the demonized person. And you can willfully suppress the demon in you that you don't want it to be driven to the surface. You know how people really get free? They get before the Lord with prayer and faith and say, Lord, you know what? Whatever you want to do to me to get me free, do it. I don't care what you can throw me around like a rag dog, like a tumbleweed blowing in the wind. But at the end of the day, set me free. Deliverance is for desperate people. It's not for religious people trying to look sublime and like they're so well tailored and so couth and so uniformly part of the body of Christ. And that's just so distasteful. And I can't believe they were there doing all of that running around and all that. That's not the Lord. So you're crazy. Deliverance is for desperate people. Whatever you got to do to me to set me free, do it. I don't care what it is. I can get my dignity back, but when I'm damned, I can't get out of hell. Who cares what people think about you? At the end of the day, were you set free from what had you bound? Religion will suppress that demon and keep you bound. Flesh cares about how it looks to people. And that pride of flesh, that pride of life, that thing that's trying to look like something to the people is what's got the demon totally bound to you. Because your outward desire is to be made to look like something to the people. You got to stop caring about all of that. The only thing you worried about is how you look to the Lord. He wants to clothe us in the beauty of holiness. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee, and have had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. They wondered because they saw a sign that made them wonder. That's a sign and a wonder. That's a real move of God. There's a tangible evidence. He was a madman. Now he's sitting and clothed in his right mind. Notice how the religious people, the ones that contaminated by the demons, in verse 17, begged him, they prayed him, depart out of our coast. But the delivered man in verse 18 prayed him that he might be with him. One group praying and begging, leave us. The other man who had been set free and delivered said, let me be with you. One group drives Jesus away. The other one wants to be with the Lord. Deliverance will make you compatible with Jesus and want to be with him. But if you're not delivered, this word I'm preaching, the only thing you want to do is push it away. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to hear it. The very sound of that guy's voice irritates me. You know why? Because you demonized. You got the devil in your soul. And it irritates him. I love to irritate the devil. I live for that. That's why I say stuff like I said, because I know it makes them mad. I don't want them liking me. I don't want them befriending me. I want to be an enemy. I want them to hate my guts. Because when they're my enemy, that means one thing about me. I'm the friend of God. You're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You're an enemy of the world, you're a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. You got to get used to that. That's one incident that shows us the move of God. Look at the next one. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, I'm begging you, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall be set free. Again, somebody wanted Jesus to come while the people that were full of the devil tried to make him go away. Jesus, come and help my daughter. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. A doctor a lot of times can't answer your problem. Doctors are good. I don't put them down. People who try to tell you don't go to the doctor are crazy. But a doctor has limitations. She had suffered many things for 12 years at physicians' hands and had spent all that she had, and it was nothing better but rather grew worse. She had spent all this money now on healing, but was getting progressively worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now look at this. She said within herself, if I touch the hem of the garment, I'll be healed. You're going to find out later that wasn't just her thinking that. That was the Holy Ghost inspiring that. And she obeyed. And that was the trigger for the power transfer. That word for virtue there is the Greek word dunamis. That's what we call it, dunamis tabernacle. It's a power tabernacle. Virtue is the actual tangible power coming out of Jesus into her body. I told you to repair any glitches that present themselves. It was a blood-borne glitch. It was an issue in her blood. I don't know what it was. You know, there are blood cancers, which is what it might have been. So his power went into her blood and fixed her blood. It was a plague in her blood. The power of the Holy Ghost can repair anything. If God made it, he can fix it. So that blood-borne pathogen was attacked by Jesus and the power that came from him. The Bible calls dunamis power here virtue. And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you ask, who touched me? In other words, they're calling Jesus a nut. You see all these folk around you, next to you, bumping up against you, and you stupid enough to ask who touched you, you must be crazy. That's what they're really saying. You know, they didn't say all that. That's what the heart of the thing was, though. Like, man, he gotta be crazy asking that silly question. Y'all know him by now to know if he's saying this, it gotta be more to it than that. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and the whole of that, and be whole of that plague. Now faith gives substance to the thing that you hope for. She hoped for a healing, but faith brought it to pass. It is my contention that the Holy Ghost of God inspired her to think that thought. If you touch his garment, there's no logical reason for her to believe and know that I can be healed by touching the hem of his garment. That had to be supernatural. Your obedience to the inspiration of the Holy Ghost has made you whole. You never know what will happen if you learn to obey the Holy Ghost. But to obey the Holy Ghost, you must first what? Be able to hear him. If you can't hear him, there's no way to obey him. And you can't hear him when your mind is inundated by the sights and sounds of the matrix. That's why nothing gets done in church or there's no power. I got so many inputs from so many things that the Holy Ghost can't talk to me. Because when he talks to you and you obey it, something will happen. There will be evidences that confirm you heard from the Holy Ghost. God never hangs you out to dry whereby he doesn't confirm what he told you. You will see, if he sent you to save somebody, somebody getting saved. If you walk away wondering, I wonder why I was here. Well, you thought up going there. That's why you're wondering why you were there. When God does something, he will confirm it. Even if it's days later, somebody will come back to you and you know what? What you said. You might have been talking to person A, but God was after person B. But they had you talking to person A so person B could hear you. Because they couldn't receive you talking direct to them, so he told you to tell them so they could hear it. That's how God operates. You're never conscious of what he's doing. All you got to do is do what he told you to do. Name of the leper. Go and dip in the river 7 times, man. I'm not dipping in any river. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm a proud man. You don't tell me to dip in some old muddy Jordan River. Well, you're the one with leprosy. I'm getting you out of the mess. Go dip in the river. You got leprosy. But too proud to obey. You got to get rid of pride, man. Because God will tell you to do things that make no sense. He'll make you do things that will embarrass you in the flesh. You look crazy. But he's after results. But we're so conscious of self that, hey, I'm not doing that. And then far be it from me to be, well, look, we'll keep the disease. I'm not crawling through some crowd that touched somebody's garment. I got to crawl through these people like I'm, what do you think I am, trash? Well, you the one got the blood-borne disease. You got to be, everything in God is for desperate people who want Jesus at all costs. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Talking to Jairus. Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Who is this talking? That's the devil. So the Bible says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You can't get caught up in the devil's report. Yeah, your kids look like they're from the moon right now. They're crazy. Don't keep buying into the devil's report. Yes. Block that. Yes. You keep responding to what you're looking at. You're in the flesh. Amen. You're short-circuiting God. I've learned to ignore them. You want to get caught up in all that? You get caught up in it. I'm going to be about the Father's business. I'm looking for folk to save. I'm looking for people to be healed and delivered. I'm looking for people that want this thing. God is responsible for saving people, not me. That's right. But we keep giving input and giving our 2 cents. Take your crummy 2 cents back and go on home. Don't put your 2 cents into it. Just go on somewhere and let God dictate to you what he wants you to do. We're trying to be responsible for too much stuff. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe, which means believe only. Don't do anything else. All you got to do, focus on me, man, believe. Don't look around, don't listen to them. He's drawing them back out of the maddening crowd, back into him. I am your answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the healer. I am the deliverer. Don't listen to them. Believe on me. You got to get your mind so narrow, man. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. You got to become a narrow-minded person. I don't listen to the maddening crowd and all the distractions and all the folks whining and pining away and all the news reports and what they're saying over here, there, and everywhere. Believe on the Lord your God. Stay focused on Jesus. He's the only one that can help you. What's trying to come against him to short circuit that belief? Be not afraid. Fear will short circuit your belief and your faith in Jesus. When they got to the promised land, fear of the giants made them not obey what God said. Your mind will begin to imagine what can happen to me if I. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is what you do in spite of fear. Dracula's in this room in the back. When I'm going back here, I'll be right back. I'm going to go see. I told you, I don't care. I'm going to see for myself. You never get anything accomplished in God with the maddening crowd trying to belong to the group. God is going to always call you out to do something by yourself. Because he's testing who? You. I want to see if you'll obey me in spite of everybody else being against you. When you have your family reunion and they ask you to pray, before you pray, I want you to stand up and say this. And you know your auntie right over there get ready to cuss you out. You know that. Now you know your auntie going to cuss you out, right? He might be after your auntie. She might be the one that breaks down in tears, repenting. But you already forecasted in your mind the outcome, not knowing the outcome. The imagination is a dangerous thing, man, because you'll imagine people into hell when God is sending you to save them. You tell yourself what they're going to do. On any given day, God can make his move. But because we limit what God can do, we already have the outcome already determined. So you can never look at somebody in any given state in life. You look like you were getting saved before the day before you got saved. You were crazy last night. You were saved in the morning. Think about what I'm saying. You broke down that night. You were just cussing somebody out that morning. Nobody figured you would. You told people you were saved. You got saved with your crazy self. You were the worst one. The Lord works a mysterious way, don't he? He doesn't forgive them much, love as much. The worst folk are the best saved folk. Get your old rank dirty sinner. They'll be a good saint. But them old half-baked sinners that just have sin, they come in light, even in the church. They come. You were a light sinner, now you a light Christian. You lighten everything. You just light. Everything you do is light. You just got C's in school. You know what I'm saying? You know, I never make A's. I just do enough to get by. You can't do nothing with that kind of person. A middle of the road, you know, like this average person. I just want to make it in. I don't want to just make it in. I want to go in hot. I want to go in destroying stuff. I want to go in kicking over stuff and yelling going on. I just want to be, as long as I can just get my ease in through the gate into heaven, I'll be satisfied. Not me. I don't want to go in like that. That's weak. You want to go in hot, man. Hot. So you're identified up there. They know you. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that can see us down here. You want them to know you before you even get there. He says, look, don't be afraid, believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except for Peter, James, and John. This is the Lord's inner circle. 12 disciples. 9 did not make up the inner circle. He had 3 main boys that he kept with him. The Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Peter and James were part of the inner circle, but John was in the inner circle. That's why he wrote Revelation. John was his main man. He could trust him the most. He was the one closest to Jesus. He was willing to lay on Jesus' breast, on his chest, when he was talking. Now, you know, you can get too many guys laying on another guy's chest. Like, man, what's wrong with you, John? You some kind of a, you a fruit or something up in there? Get off the Lord like that. What's wrong with you? See, he was a different kind of a guy. He was the closest one to Jesus. Everybody's not going to be the same with you in your life. See, we can be in an environment, everybody love everybody fellowship, but there are certain people that are just closer to you as an individual. There's nothing wrong with that. There may be somebody like Paul and Barnabas that God calls you to walk with. He's going to build a relationship with you and that person. It's the way it is. But see, Jesus is calling apart the folks that are most close to him that believe in him. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but asleep. Now look what happened. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him like he was some kind of a nut, mocking him. Fool, the girl is dead. And they break out laughing. The same people lamenting and crying and mourning. And the Son of God says, she's not dead, she's asleep. Now he's a clown, he's a joke. But when they had put them all out, that's the first thing you got to do. All these folk here, all y'all laughing. To the left. All y'all got to go. Y'all, hey, look. All y'all with those grins, if all y'all laughing, y'all just gone out the room, please. Because I'm working with the folk that mean business. He put them all out. Ain't going to be too many folk left in this now, because the laughing, mocking, scornful people are going to be put out. He put them all out. He takes the father and the mother of the damsel, knowing that inside of them was embedded the hope that their daughter would live. See, they had something to work with them. I want my daughter brought back alive. They laughing and going on at you, but hey, I'm hoping to God she's just asleep. I'm with you. Look, let's go on in here. See, I'm in because I want my daughter to live. And them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talithakumi. Talithakumi, which is interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, you know, if you Peter, James, and John, you sitting there like, because, you know, that would have been you and me. But like, that's a dead woman. That's like going to the morgue with somebody. They said, come, there's somebody at the morgue. They died 2 days ago. They laying in the morgue, embalmed and everything. They said, come on, we're going to head to the morgue and get the dead woman up. Come on. Look. I'm going to the morgue to get up a dead woman. Come on. You, and you. We're going to the morgue. Come on. You know, you might be going by yourself that time. People are like, this fool crazy. You know, this woman been embalmed. And I'm telling you, the Lord has spoken to me. He getting this dead woman up. Y'all coming with me and stand in prayer with me in agreement, because I'm going in here and they having to wait tonight at 8 o'clock. There'll be about 800 people up in there because the woman was very popular. We're going to walk up in the middle of the wake up to the casket and we're going to command that body up and get her up. All right, let's go. Y'all believe us, right? Everybody a believer? Y'all believe in the Lord, right? I believe in the Lord, but I don't believe in you. See, I believe in the Lord, but you crazy. I don't know about you. See, that's why you got to know what you in, who you in it with, who's around you. I'm taking Peter, James, and John because these boys are in. The rest of those nine guys might be kind of suspect. We know one of them was. Judas Iscariot was very suspect. But I got to have some folk with me that really believe this thing, that got the evidences that, hey, they're in. That's why you take with you folk that really believe. Don't ever go anywhere with folk that don't believe in the mission. Because you're going to be out here with somebody going to short circuit and undermine what you're doing. Because they don't believe. You better get yourself some folk with you that believe this thing. Because when you get out there in all still conditions and you're really dealing with the devil for real, you better be standing with a believer. I've seen the devil work, man. You'd be standing somewhere casting out the devil. You know the devil would turn you against the person standing next to you. See, you think you ain't casting me out, but you don't understand what this person, last night they were looking at porno. You look at them like, they hadn't even looked at no porno. But the devil playing you. And you look, you were looking at porno, fool. We out there with this devil. And you believe in, what you believe in? What the devil tell you, getting information from the devil. The devil is a liar, fool. The devil is a liar. And you try to get information from the devil. What time were they watching the porno, devil? About 8:30. They were down in their grandmama's basement on the computer watching the porno. You see, we came out here and you were at your grandmama's house. I wasn't watching it. Yes, you were. The devil just told me. You can't be with no fools, man. You can't go out here with no nuts, man, because, folk, the devil will twist you in knots. That joker is a strategic thinking adversary. That's why you better know those that do what? Labor a monster. You better know, folk. Folks jump up. I want to just lay hands. No, hold it. We don't know you. We don't know you. That's right. I go in environments where ministries going on. I don't jump up doing anything because they don't know me. Well, I want you to know I'm a man of God. And we don't know you. You over in Omaha. You from Atlanta. We don't know nothing about you. Stop trying to be all that. Like credentials follow you around. Nobody cares about you like that. They don't care about me like that. Look at this. Told him she was asleep. Got the mother and the father together. Tell her, thank you me. Get up. Straightway the damsel got up. Everybody was astonished and amazed. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. She had been dead. She probably kind of hungry. Give her a sandwich and a coke, because the girl kind of famished. I mean, dead and everything, you know what I mean? Give her something to eat. You see, there are evidences here three times. The Gadarene demoniac, the woman with the issue of blood, and this young girl, 12 years old, being raised from the dead. A real move of God. Now compare that to this mess we see down here. People jumping around, flipping and flopping around, talking about they drunk in the spirit, rolling all around on the floor, acting a fool. What is that accomplishing? Nothing. Nothing. A man sitting and clothed in his right mind, a woman with the issue of blood burned out of her soul, and a dead girl raised. That's a move of God. Flipping around and jumping around and acting a fool and dancing around a room means absolutely nothing. Folk were getting mad at me about it because they are trying to work up God. You can't work up God. Your spirit, soul, and body, I told you, your spirit needs the Holy Ghost, prayer, fasting. It needs worship and praise to create an environment in your spirit that will invite God into it. Your soul needs the word of God, the washing and regeneration by the word of God, the purging of the ingest and digestion and distribution of the word of God through your soul, because your soul is in your bloodstream and your soul is permeating your entire body. It's refurbishing you. Why is it doing that? To allow the power in your spirit to be able to flow through you. You could touch any part of Jesus' body with uncontaminated blood and you find what? Holy Ghost power. He was ebbing and flowing with it. He could feel the virtue, the power go out of him. It's like touching an electrical line that's been actually charged up with power. Power actually went out of him. Virtue. He was a walking, talking power plant. He was a dangerous man. He said, I can call the angels at his crucifixion. Everybody within 5,000 miles, they'll be dead within 15 seconds. All I got to do is just cry for God to send the angels. And man, everything within my sight will be destroyed because I said it. That's dangerous. That's a dangerous individual. They fooled around with Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, thinking they were talking to a man, Ananias and Sapphira. Said, you didn't lie to a man, you just lied to the Holy Ghost. They dropped dead. That's why God is very slow to dole out power, because we get crazy. Oh, you see something happen. Now let me start laying hands on the folk, you know, let y'all see. You feel that electrical current there? So then you get into this false use of the gifts, and that thing can become unclean. You can find people start off with God and go off. And an unclean spirit will begin to incorporate itself into the environment. They waving their hands and whole sides of the auditorium falling over. What did it accomplish? Nothing. But it's getting people what? Caught up in them. You know, a lot of people saying they're casting out demons are not casting out demons. You know what they're doing? They're calling up the demons. And the people see the demons manifest thinking that's powerful. Nothing happened. You don't want to summon demons and call it God's power. The Gadarene demoniac was sitting down, clothed in his right mind, tangible evidence of deliverance. Facebook and the internet are full of manifestations. And people are talking about, praise the Lord. Ooh, the power of God was on the move. Oh, the anointing was heavy. You weren't there. You don't know anything about that. But you are pending some supernatural power to it, when that could be a shaman, a witch doctor, a devil at work. You better make your calling and your election sure, so that you personally experience a real move of God in your life. Stop falling behind stuff, because there's going to be a lot of manifestation at the end. The Bible says there'll be lying signs and wonders coming through the Antichrist, even to the degree that if it was possible, the very elect would be deceived. You don't want to fool around with supernatural power, because the devil has supernatural power too. The best you can do is purge you. The best you can do is stay in the Word. I keep telling people, get back in that Word. Stop looking around for stuff. Stay in that Word. That's the anchor for your soul. The Word anchors your soul in Christ, and you'll be able to hear Him, and his sheep won't follow anybody else. But if you're looking for entertainment, signs of wonders, and stuff to happen, you're going to open yourself up to a delusion. When God moves, there are tangible evidences. Anywhere you see God do something in His Bible, it's trackable, it's traceable, it's verifiable. Somebody jumping all around out of control and twitching and jumping. At the end of the day, what you got? A handful of nothing. You got a bunch of nothing. Oh, I wonder, this is a diamond. I said, it was a diamond. I was going to go ahead and... No, this ain't worth nothing here. You can have that. But see, if it's tangible, then it's verifiable, it's undeniable, you're all right. Because you got evidence after the thing is done that God has moved. A lot of folks ask me a lot of questions all week about stuff. The best I can tell them sometimes is, I don't know. Do you think it's a man of God? I don't know. I don't know him. You got folks out there everywhere prophesying. You want to check out a prophet. If they prophesied something, did it come to pass? Brian Karn saying stuff on the internet, it didn't happen. False prophet. Well, you all not the judge. That's judging. That's right, I'm judging it. That's right. It didn't happen, it's false, false prophet. That ain't no rocket science, buddy. But he's talking about casting out devils and folks thrown all over the floor and laid out on the floor and folks just, this is, but he said something that was false. I don't care. It's the power of God on display. We all got our little, you know, character traits that are not perfect. You better stop giving people free passes, buddy. You better stay in that Word. If you speak not according to the law of the prophets, let you be a curse. He said, how do you know a false prophet? Because the thing they prophesy does not come to pass. That's what the Bible says. That's how you check it. Then in a judgment, if the Bible says it and I say it, it's not a judgment. If I say it void of any biblical verification, that's me and my opinion. But if this Bible validates it, that's the authority of the word of God. That's how you're going to walk this out. Don't ever let anybody pull you out of the pages of this book. Circumstances, situations, activity, a bunch of stuff in the atmosphere can be going on. The book. You better know the book. That way you don't get caught up in a bunch of stuff. A lot of times you see manifestations, it's demons called to the surface. And the people just tribulating and jumping around and stuff, but ain't nothing leaving. They came in full of the devil and left full of the devil. Isn't it amazing all these healing services, whenever you see somebody with no arms and legs in a wheelchair, don't nobody heal them. But I got a stomach problem. My back hurt. Right. Hold it, we can't verify that. All this going, you walking right past the guy with no legs. Talking about, my sister, you have a headache, the Lord has showed me. Praise the Lord. Hold it, man, the guy with no legs. Sir, I don't have any, I like my legs grown out, please. Could you grow my legs out, please? Over here, woo-hoo. Legs, please. Can I get a set of legs here, please? Oh, I see you have a mole on your back that you want. Pray the Lord. The Lord is showing me the mole is dissipating even now. Even now. Hold on, man. Why are you doing all this stuff we can't check, man?
Right. Yeah. Come on.
I want to see some stuff that I can check on the spot. You know. Both eyes were burnt out in an acid fire. And I'm sitting there with holes in my head, you know, I'm seeing eyes form up. Now I can validate that. We can verify that. I saw the eyes form up. Babies born with all kind of birth defects and, you know, cleft lips and water-headed babies. And I saw the head shrink down to normal size. And I saw the eyes form up correctly. And I saw all the stuff just, you know, man with a withered hand. And withered hand could be all just, you see the hand just open up. I was there, I saw it, I was looking at it in real. Now imagine you sitting there looking at something in real time. Imagine somebody with no arm and you watching the arm grow out. And you sitting there looking, you probably pass out like, the Lord is real. But see, that's what we need. We need a move of God. What about, hey, look.
Amen.
You know, you're like 2 feet away from him and right there in front of you, like, you see the arm just. That's something like a movie. You like, I'm going into fasting and prayer. That's where you headed now. I'm going to go into some fasting and prayer. I'm not fooling around. Don't talk to me. Don't play with me. I'm not playing with the Lord. No, don't pray with the Lord. I'm not playing with the Lord no more. So you can get an instance with God where something happened where it's a life-changing paradigm shift where I was there. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, nobody fooling around no more with it. When Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, I ain't lying. Somebody try to tell a joke lying like, it's something on your back. Don't be kidding nobody back. Right. Talking about nobody. Don't lie about nothing. Nothing. Don't tell no lies. Cause I saw Ananias and Sapphira die. Don't be lying. Don't even joke about lying. Don't talk about I was just kidding. Don't lie nowhere around. You a liar? Don't even come around me. I don't want to have nothing to do with no lying, no kind of way. See, when God moves, folk change up real fast. Real fast. Lazarus is dead. The 12-year-old girl is dead. I mean, and it went on to the disciples now. They getting up dead for Dorcas fall out of one. Jesus, they raised her from the dead. The man sitting by the gate called Beautiful. Blind Bartimaeus. We can go on and on. When God is moving, there's not a bunch of emotional junk just jumping around and folk running and shouting and you leave talking about we had a good old time in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was moving. And ain't nothing changed and nobody, nothing done, nobody healed, no deliverance, nothing went forth. And yet we entertained ourselves for 2 hours. I'm not here for that. I don't care about that. I want to really see something happen. Something you can put your weight down on. Man, God moved through there, man, like a tidal wave. This thing is real. These folk, man, that came in from Gulf Storm missing legs and limbs and eyes and stuff. Man, everybody in there left with that being made whole. This thing is powerful, man. God is real. The world doesn't see any reality of God, so now the church is a joke. Emotional hype is not a move of God. You got to get that into you. Emotional hype and a bunch of stuff happening emotionally is not a sign of God moving. But know this, in a desert, people search for any kind of immediate relief. When there's God is not moving and nothing is happening, people begin to look for relief. In a desert, you're going to look for three things: food, water, and shelter. So people in church are looking for something to happen. Any kind of little, just a little bit of water on my lips. Just wet my lips. Let me have just a piece of a bologna sandwich. We're in a desert. We're in a dry place. We're in the days that Elijah cursed Israel with when he did what? Shut up the heavens. There'll be no rain. What stopped the rain? Jezebel and Ahab stopped the rain. That's what the church is under. We're under the curse of the Jezebel spirit. That's why you don't see any rain. That's why you don't see a move of God. The heavens are closed up because God is looking at a matronized church. He is not going to move through a matronized church. He got to find somebody to come in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the fathers back to the children so we can get rain. That's why we don't see any rain. That's why we don't see any power. You think this thing is just something I talk about all the time? That woman pastor is stopping the rain. People dying, disease, sickness, infirmity, and God's rain can stop all of this stuff and heal up everybody. The Bible says wherever that river flows, it's for the healing of the nations. That it will bring forth, the trees will bring forth what? Their fruit in their season, and their leaves and branches are for the healings of the nations. We are those trees. Yes.